to say. I thank you that through the teaching, this is first time after my 10 years married to my husband. This is a very good experience for me. And in the past, I used to give a lot of speeches. I'm Chinese educated. And how I faced so much struggles with my English when I first married to my husband. When he speaks in English, my understanding will interpret into Mandarin. There was a struggle. But I thank God for this opportunity, which is very much encouraged by our Mr. Wise Old Man. My son called him Mr. Wise Old Man, Brother Amos. So you can see the Lord is calling you out. So I obey. So I just want to give thanks unto Jesus for His grace. It is absolutely His grace that I'm here. Amen. Now, grace for test. It is a very simple test. All of you who registered, please stay back for the test. And I set the question in such a way that it's one extra question. Even you make all mistakes, you still got 5 marks. And I believe all of you will score 100 marks. Because it is based more on your knowledge and your understanding, not so much on your head knowledge. And I believe whether you do well or not, it doesn't matter. The test will just help you to find out how much you learn, that's all. Even the mark is seen up. So what? I don't know much about ministering to family. I'm growing the perfection, so don't be shy. Or maybe you can talk to the principal. Please don't pin up the mark. Okay, let's go into the Word of God. Tonight is supposed to be a revision on what we have learned in the past few weeks, past 4 weeks. The first topic we talk about marriage relationship between husband and wife. The second one is about the sexual life. And third one is finance. Fourth is parenting, training up children. So let's talk about marriage relationship. Maybe let us pray. Let's all bow our heads to pray. Father God, we thank you that it is by the power of the Holy Spirit we can gather here, we can understand what you're leading. Father God, open unto us the spirit of encouragement and help us to understand. Oh Holy Spirit, comfort us, help us to know what is ministering to family is all about. Father, your word says that we are to forget the past mistakes and we are going to hold on to what is good. Hold fast for what your word has taught us. Father, help us through your power of the Holy Spirit. Help us to remember right now what are the things that you want us to remember and help us to hold fast to it. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say, Amen. As we have talked about the topic about marriage, we believe that marriage is made up of two imperfect people, therefore there is no perfect marriage. But if our marriage is not perfect, that doesn't mean that we should stay and remain in imperfection. There's hope in marriage if you try yourself to be perfect. The Word of God says in Matthew 5:48, be ye perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. If you strive for perfection in your marriage will grow better and better each day. Amen? And because marriage is made up of two imperfect people coming to join the life together, we not only need grace, but the two life partners need to be a very, very good, very, very good, awfully good forgiver. We need to really forgive one another. You know that in marriage life, there are three stages. The first stage is mutual enjoyment. The second stage is mutual adjustment. And the third stage is mutual fulfillment. And we know especially in the second stage, a lot of rubbing, misunderstanding, the more you get close to one another, the more you see each other's mistakes and imperfections. And that's where sorrow sometimes comes. And God has mercy on us when there should be any fighting. And we know that it is during this period we need to really check our marriage, whether are we really obedient to the word of God. We know that in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 32, forgive one another, be understanding, and the Bible verse says that tender hearted, forgiving one another. Before there is any forgiveness, both parties have to learn to say sorry. Too bad if one party refuses to say sorry, the other party, who is the strong, will bear the weakness of the weak. And we have to forgive even without asking for sorry. You know, many times forgiveness flows easily when one party says sorry. It starts with the word sorry. What happens if one party refuses to say sorry? I believe the other party has to ask God's grace to her to forgive the other party. To learn to say sorry even for your life partner. God, I feel so sorry for him or for her. Please forgive her. And because we can come down to this level, to be able to say sorry, and to be able even forgive without hearing the word sorry, that's where our heart remains tender. You know, many of us, maybe husbands, sometimes we are strong men of principles, or strong men of God's word, so call it. Sometimes we think, you're so call it, we tend to forget that women are actually very gentle in many ways, easily hurt. And the Bible says, don't harsh with your wife. We need to be loving, especially husbands. When we talk about loving, wives need to be loving to the husband. But let me encourage the husband, if you are loving towards your wife, and you really love her, treasure her, any mistake she made, you come down to her level, be able to understand, tender-hearted towards her, let the forgiveness flow, that is when you will come on her whenever you are in trouble or you are in any wrong, you still find her remain submissive to you because you know that you truly love her, you truly lay down your life for her, and you truly appreciate her. You love her so much even when she makes mistakes, you still forgive her, you still love her. Many wives will find no problem to respect the husband, submit to the husband, if she can trust and know that the husband truly loves her. Amen? Now we talk about submission. Let's turn to Ephesians 5, 22. Wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord. Let's dwell on the topic about submission. Many times, wives find it hard to submit to the husband, especially in modern situation, a lot of women are working outside, especially some lady boss. They are the boss of their own company. They find it so hard to submit to the husband, or even a working successful lady. They find it hard. I believe the problem is not a matter of it is so hard, or the problem is not so much that she's holding a high status or qualification. I think the real problem is still that she has not learned to hold fast on the right principle. You know, the same principle she operates in the office, for example, her relationship between the boss and her, is the same principle that operates at home, her relationship between the husband, her husband. Let's illustrate. In the company that you work, you find that as an employee, as a boss, she respects the boss. She knows who is the boss. Relates to her boss in a proper and correct way. And most wise lady who want to keep the job will know how to please the boss. If the boss sometimes criticize a bit, put a bit of pressure on the work, you'll find that she'll never react and dare not react, and she'll not scold back if the boss scold her, and she'll never have any misconduct in case she'll be fired by the boss. Same thing at home, because God's order for marriage is husband is the head, woman is the helper. As a helper, you know that Holy Spirit is also the helper, right? And Holy Spirit is same in the Trinity Godhead. Holy Spirit is not of lesser value to the Father, Son, right? So when we talk about as we helper to our husband, please forget about we are of lesser worth. By the way, 1 Peter 3:1, it says that we are joint heir together with our husband in Christ. We are joint heir. Amen? Now, when we think about the same principle operate in the office, if we operate, use the same principle applied at home, I believe we should not start a quarrel with our husband by answering back, criticize that. And by the way, Proverbs 31:12, it says that do no evil to your husband. It could mean don't despise him, respect him like you would do to your company boss. So it's a good news for those working wives. You know why? You learn the principle in the office well, you too can learn this same principle at home well. And for lady boss, Jesus is a greater boss. The problem of submission is not your husband, is within yourself. And if you really submit to Jesus, learn to be submissive to the Lord, you will submit to Jesus also in your marriage life. And it is your obedience that brings you success in your marriage. Amen? Amen. Now let's talk about another topic, sex in marriage. The successful sex life is not so much on depend on how much you know, although it's very important. After acquire all the knowledge about sex, you still won't have happy and successful sex life unless both husband and wife grow in love, in relationship. Grow in God's love, grow in love for one another. You know, the whole idea of sex that God created for men and women within marriage, relationship, is to learn to show love to one another through this special way. And because it is from God, God says it is to be given, and it is to be given in love. Love is a way. Someone says that love is not to put in your heart to stay. Love is not love till you give it away. When you submit to God and effectively giving the sex and also doing a duty that is sacred, and let the spirit of joy come upon you when you do it. Because God first says in Genesis 18, if I'm not mistaken, must be verse 12. It says that it is a pleasure. It's a pleasure to enjoy a sexual life. Why? Because when you do it with our duty, with a spirit of joy, there is pleasure. If you do it with an attitude, duty lah, and then it will be a hard work. It won't be a pleasure. It won't be a joy. Let's talk about financial life. Financial life in the area of budgeting, I believe. When we talk about budgeting our financial life, talk about budget, we know that it is a must in a family life. The whole idea for budget is a must. It's not so much that to make sure how much money you can save and how many years will it take you to grow into a millionaire. It's more of you can have a better financial life. You learn to use the money that you earn properly so that you can enjoy a better financial life. If you are faithful, serious unto God in your financial area, I believe God will bless you more and more. Amen. When we budget, we must make sure that there is a proper record for good communication. At least we know how much that is there to spend. If you budget and don't keep following it and don't keep carrying it up, I don't think there is any budget. Forget about budgeting. And in that, in our financial life, we cannot have financial goals and plans unless we budget our money. And through budgeting, we know when to how much to save. And also, we will be very careful in our spending. You know that how much we are going to spend depends on how much money we have, we allow us to spend. And this idea of budgeting will help us to be able to work towards this area so that we will not end up to let emotion lead us, greed lead us. Oh, I see the thing. I must have it. I must buy it. I must borrow to buy it. There is no control at all. And budget will help you to control. And sometimes, because of budgeting, we learn to wait, to be patient, to only buy things, save up to buy those things that will depreciate. For example, as we have talked earlier, clothing. You can wait for a cheap sale. You know, no need to really go all out to get it just because you think that, oh, it's nice for you, it's good. To God's wisdom, anything that they cannot stand to time and patience, it is not of the Lord. Let's talk about parenting. The whole process of bringing up children is a process of training. We know that according to Proverbs 22, verse 6, it says that train up the child in the way of the Lord while he's young. Now we know that a child, we are not perfect. We are like us. For all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. And they all have a choice to choose between good and evil. Now, we are not going to allow the world to influence our children and develop the desire towards evil. The job and the role of the parents is to train and influence the children to choose good, to bend their will towards good. And the whole process of training is to bring the child in such a state that they will be able to surrender their will back to God. I believe that certain statistics and books that we read, for example, there is one statement made by one expert, I believe it's Jim Dobson. And he says that a strong-willed child must be reached and bend the will towards God before 12 years old. After 12 years old, it will be very hard. And we understand that anytime we think our children is perfect, we can forget about training. We can forget even about training. So, in ministry to children, I believe there is a golden rule. The rule is to train them up and nurture them in the word of the Lord. Let the word of God be a lamp unto their feet. In Psalm 119:105, it says that the word of God is a light unto my path, a lamp unto my feet. The word of God is their answer. The word of God will help to satisfy the desire and Change your heart desire towards good and not bad. Remember the word says that the word of God is better than pure fine gold and sweeter than honeycomb. It can satisfy the desire of every young heart. Amen? Amen. And in understand training up the child, I want to emphasize very much on the word train up. Actually, this word is from the Hebrew word chanuk, C-H-A-N-U-K. It simply means that to bring into submission and discipline. But there is another area which is give a greater meaning, that is to develop a taste. Let me explain. You see, this word chanuk is a root word for the word the palate, P-A-L-A-T-E. That is the roof of the gut, the mouth or the gum. When it's used as a verb to palate, it means to train. This is a verb that used to train a wild horse. You know how a wild horse is tamed and brought into control? You can control wherever the horse is supposed to go by just pulling the rope in the horse's mouth. The horse will feel the pain in the gum and he will just follow the direction. Follow whatever you wanted him to do. And another meaning to palate is also means that to create a thirst. The reason I say that is because to collect in Solomon times, it is the action a midwife used to create a suction phase in the newborn baby. After she receives the baby out of the womb, the midwife will dip the hand into the cast juice of the baby. Big juice, and will put the hand into the mouth, the roof of the baby, and it also acts as a cleansing agent. And then the baby tastes the juice, and the baby will begin to want, develop a desire of thirst to suck. After that, the midwife will put the newborn baby into the arm of the mother. And that's when the baby starts sucking. So, to train is also to develop the thirst. How are we going to develop the thirst of a child towards good? Accept the word of God, which is better than honeycomb. It can really satisfy the thirst of a child. No wonder children are so receptive to the word of God, more than we adults. And someone say it's so easy to clean the new pot and pan, and old pot and pan are so hard to clean. No, the longer we go into the world, the harder we find it to be simple and to be just walk in a simple faith. So we all pray, Father God, I praise you and thank you that whatever you want me to share, Father God, I just obey you, Lord. Whatever the people learn here, Father, you help them to bring into their memories whatever is good. Father, I thank you that your words continue to take effect into their heart and mind. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for the families in this church. And Father, you will raise up exemplary families. And you'll cause them to bring peace unto homes. And Father, let this time be a time that you'll bring forth ministry from couples where they will bring peace to all homes. And Father, you speak unto these people. You know who they are. They are sitting right here. They are here by no coincidence. Oh Father, in the name of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit, come upon these chosen couples. And Father, I thank you. You speak to them, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.